After this Mass, we will transfer this urn here before the altar containing the remains of Sister Barbara to the vault over there in the memorial garden right next to Father Francis. This was her express wish, you know, to be buried next to Father Francis. And this makes sense. I mean, it makes sense to have our founder and our co-founder laid side by side after working hard side by side for more than 30 years, working for the kingdom of God, working for the founding and the development of the Anuim community. The vault is quite large. It took 3 days of hard work to get that vault into the ground. When the men started digging the hole, they discovered a large boulder blocking the way. There was no space between the vault of Father Francis and the boulder. So it looked for a while like there was going to be no room for the vault, no room in the inn. Made me think of that, what's that tradition, sa Pasko? Panululuyan, panululuyan. No room in the inn, where is she going to go? So what could we do? The men tried various things, tools, and they finally got a jackhammer to hack away at this big boulder. And then to our surprise, it came loose. And they were able to pull it out, roll it away. Actually, 5 men moved it and put it into the garden behind the building here. So it turns out it was not a Christmas mystery, no room at the inn. It was an Easter mystery. They rolled the large stone away from the entrance to the tomb. Of course, in an Easter, they rolled the stone away so Jesus could come out of the tomb. Here we had to roll that big boulder away so that Sister Barbara could be put into the tomb. Anyway, the vault is quite large, the vault that's in the ground now. There's plenty of room for more urns. Maybe this is a kind of concession to Sister Barbara, who up until her last stroke, you know, suffered from claustrophobia. So she didn't like small spaces. Now she has a very big space. Of course, she doesn't care about small spaces now. She has plenty of room to praise the Lord. Father Francis, on the other hand, whose perspective was frequently very different from Sister Barbara's, he would not have thought about the physical space at all, probably. He would have been much more likely to focus on the mystical meaning of the tomb itself, not the tomb as the end point of the journey of life. That's what most of us think most of the time, that life on earth goes from the womb to the tomb. But Father Francis liked to point out that because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, the tomb becomes a womb. The tomb becomes a womb. That is, from the seeming finality of death comes forth new life, better life, eternal life. That's why we usually celebrate the feast days of saints and martyrs on the day of their death, because their death day is really their birthday into eternal life. The tomb becomes a womb. Well, isn't it striking that today is the birthday of Sister Barbara? It's her birthday today. Father Francis would certainly have made a connection here. The tomb becomes a womb. This is the day when Sister Barbara came forth from the womb. That was back in 1934. 87 years ago, she came forth from the womb. And on this day, 87 years later, she finally enters the tomb. Meaning her mortal remains will be placed there to await the resurrection of the body. Her soul has gone to be with God. This is not her birthday into eternal life. That already happened. She's already with God. She's already born to new life. But her body, which is really merely ashes now, will be put in its final resting place, a sacred weeping place. In light of this, I have to say a word about how strange this process has become in our times. I mean the weird change that has taken place since the practice of cremation has become so widespread. Cremation is allowed now, yes, but it's not the church's preferred way of dealing with death, dealing with our deceased loved ones. It's not the church's preferred way. Burial in the ground, burial like a seed in the ground, burial like Jesus Christ himself, that's the preferred way. See, what's happened with cremation is this strange separation between funerals and burials. They used to go together. It used to be that after the funeral mass, the body would be taken to the cemetery and buried, and that's it. The whole process would be complete. You wouldn't separate the funeral from the rite of committal. There's just a procession in between. Sister Barbara knew this very well. You know, her father worked for a cemetery. He worked for the Catholic cemetery in Brooklyn. So she knew this process from her childhood. But nowadays, it's possible for the burial or the interment to be postponed indefinitely. Now the weird part, and this has become much weirder during the pandemic, as we know, with all these restrictions on wakes and on people's travel, and you have to wait around just to honor your loved ones. But the weird part is, what do you do with the urn in the meantime? Where do you put it? How do we treat the body of our deceased loved ones, this sacred temple of the body, how do we treat it with respect, the respect that it deserves? Where do you put it? So people have urns in their houses, they have urns in their bedrooms, they have urns in their living space, they have urns on their family altars. Well, Sister Barbara's funeral, if you remember, was on July 17. It was only 3 days after she died. We had to rush it because of the quarantine requirements. And then she was cremated right after her funeral mass. We were in GCQ then. So we were permitted to have a short wake and a funeral mass with a limited number of people, which we thought was very harsh, all these restrictions. But it was better then than it is now. We can't even have a public mass. In fact, almost all the people who are joining this mass are online. It's only a couple people here in the chapel. So we were in GCQ, then we got pushed back to ECQ, and now we're in MECQ. We thought back then that was 48 days ago. We thought back then that surely by the time of her birthday, at least, we could have a public mass for her burial. But we were wrong about that, so that's why we have this live-streamed mass for the burial. So greetings to all those who are joining us online. Well, here at the shrine, we have the advantage that we could put her urn here before the tabernacle. That's a suitable place, temporarily. It's a sacred place. It's a good waiting place, especially for someone who is deeply, deeply committed to adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And after all, Sister Barbara was a servant of the Blessed Sacrament. So that was a good place to keep her urn for a while, but not a permanent place. Sister Barbara would not have complained about having a little extra time in the chapel, but if you knew her, you know she was a very balanced person. And she was always quick to point out when things got disordered. She knew that disorders in a social setting, either in a marriage or in a family or in the community were usually the result of some personal disorder, some control or some fear or some indecision or pride or greed or whatever it was. And she would point it out with her very great insight and her clear perception of human nature. She would point it out, sometimes very strongly, and say, "That's a disorder." So she would get her point across, sometimes more gently, of course. But she would say, "That's a disorder. That's not normal. That's not the way God plans it. That's not the way to do it." So I'm sure she's saying today, she's saying, "Okay, this is enough. Enough time waiting around. Bury me. It's the disorder to wait around forever. Even if you can't have a public mass, it's time. Let's finish it." You know, sister, she had a great love for decision. She knew the process. You put your trust in God. You pray. You discern. You make a decision and then you act. She had no patience for indecision. If it's the will of God, do it. Okay, well, we've already had a funeral mass 48 days ago. The next step is called the rite of committal, and that comes after the mass. So this mass, yes, is a mass for the dead, but we used the readings assigned for the day. And that we did that very deliberately because Sister Barbara would not want to interfere with the liturgical life that she loved so much, the liturgical readings. And she wouldn't want to have another mass dedicated to her. This is the liturgical life. So let's take a brief look at the liturgical readings assigned to today, especially for the gospel. I'm not going to address the first reading, which was a favorite of Father Francis and has a great insight into the process of the spiritual life. Father Francis probably would have preached a lot on this first reading. He was a master of the word. But Sister Barbara, I think we can apply more easily the gospel, because she was a master at putting flesh on the word. And today's gospel tells the marvelous story of Peter, his call, and the miraculous catch of fish. Sister Barbara certainly pondered this wonderful passage many times, and she used it many times in her countless hours of spiritual counseling. Because it's a classic story of being called by God, responding to the call of God, and bearing fruit because God makes this fruit possible. It's a pattern that applies to all of us, every disciple of Christ. It's not about Peter's greatness. It's about the way God makes all of us great if we let him, if we follow him. So I think Sister Barbara would want us to ponder this, at least for a moment, and to grow in spiritual wisdom and understanding. So here's what happens. Peter gets into the boat. Well, first of all, there's a large crowd. We don't have a crowd here. There's no large crowd listening to the word. Maybe there's a large crowd online, I don't know. But there's no large crowd here. They were listening to the word, and Jesus gets into the boat of Simon Peter. Isn't this an accurate description of how God works? God does what he wants. He's in charge. He works in his own ways. He breaks into our lives. He invades our routine, our personal space. He can be a bit strong with us sometimes. Think of how he treated Paul on the road to Damascus. He knocked him right down. So God can just get into our boat. And Sister Barbara knew this. She knew that God was in charge. Like it or not, God's in charge. She knew that he could break in and make known his will. That's why she wasn't afraid to point out to others how God's will was breaking into their lives and helping us all follow that will of God. Anyway, there's a Jesus in Peter's boat, and then there's this key point in the story when Jesus tells him, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." You see, the time comes when God asks something more of us, symbolized by going out into deep water and lowering the nets. The idea does not come from us. It doesn't even make sense to us. If it was our idea, we would simply have to reject it, using our reasons. It doesn't make sense to go out into deep water at this time of day and lower the nets. We've been doing this all night long. So if it was our own idea, we wouldn't do it. But if it comes from God, we can't that easily reject it. We have to, we're challenged then to go beyond our reason. We're challenged to respond in faith. That's where Sister Barbara had a lot to teach us, how to respond with faith. So Peter says, okay, we already did that. We did it all night. But if you say so, okay, I'll do it. If you say so. You see what he does here. He yields his human reasoning. He yields his human will to the divine will. If you say so, then I will do it. And the result is abundance, an abundant catch of fish. Sister Barbara could tell many, many stories about times when God indicated to her something deeper that made no sense to her at the time. I hope we could all tell stories like this, because this is the journey of faith. God tells us to take a step that doesn't make sense, but we say, well, this is what he wants. Okay, if you say so, I'll do it. I'll just take one example from Sister Barbara's life. This is her probably the most famous one. It goes back to the beginning of the Anuin community. It's a very obvious one. In 1975, on September 8, Sister Barbara heard Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, telling her interiorly, not in her, she couldn't hear it with her ears, but in her heart, she heard Mary telling her, what will begin on December 8. That was it. What will begin on December 8. Well, what does that mean? What will begin? What will begin? Doesn't say what it was. Well, what does it mean? Do I have to go forth? Do I have to leave the convent? And even if I do, where do I go? What am I supposed to do? No answer. What will begin December 8th. Put out into the deep and lower your nets. God doesn't give all the answers at once. In fact, he deliberately doesn't. What he does is he indicates his will so that we can respond in faith. If he tells us everything, then we're just responding with our reason. But if he doesn't tell us everything, then we have to trust him. Respond in faith. Okay, well, just as Peter's response to a call that seemed strange led to an abundant catch of fish, so also Sister Barbara's willingness to put out into the deep has led to the abundant life that we have in Anuin. Many, many people have received the fruit of that willingness to step out in faith. Okay, but in the story of Peter, there's another problem. He realizes that he's not worthy to be chosen. Well, no one is. No one's worthy. Peter says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." It's not a request, really, that Jesus should get out of the boat. Rather, it's an acknowledgement on the part of Peter that he himself should not be in the boat with the Lord. He's not worthy. I'm a sinful man. Now, since we're in the year of St. Joseph, let me just mention this. This reaction of Peter has been compared by many of the saints to Joseph's reaction to the news of Mary's pregnancy. He didn't reject her. He didn't reject her child. Rather, he felt unworthy to be in the same boat with them. That's why he was going to separate himself from Mary. Anyway, Sister Barbara would often speak of this unworthiness. She would always say she was a worldling. She was a worldling. That's the word she used to describe herself. She loved the world. She came from a poor family. She had no education beyond high school. She was not qualified. But she would also say that none of that makes any difference anyway. It doesn't really matter. What matters is God's choice, God's will. That's what matters. So notice how Jesus responds when Peter says, "I'm a sinful man," and Jesus doesn't say, "Well, no, you're not. No, you're not." He agrees with him. Yeah, you're a sinner, just like everybody else. What is Jesus' advice to this sinner? What's his advice to Sister Barbara? What's his advice to all of us? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. From now on, if you follow me, I'm the one who will determine what you will do, and I'm the one who will make your efforts bear fruit. The fruit that I'm looking for from you. Do not be afraid. I think this is a good closing message for the journey of Sister Barbara now that she's going to enter the tomb. A good message to reflect on, a message on this burial day and birthday of our co-founder. What's the message? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to follow Jesus. Do not be afraid of the tomb. The tomb becomes the womb. Do not be afraid of the many things that don't make sense. Do not be afraid of dying for rising. It's the whole Christian life. Do not be afraid of the tomb, of the countless contradictions and problems that come up. Do not be afraid of this pandemic. Do not be afraid of COVID-19. Do not be afraid of small spaces. Do not be afraid to go into the deep. Do not be afraid to walk on the water. Do not be afraid to follow the Anuam way. Do not be afraid to put flesh on the word. Do not be afraid. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Yes, Mary and Joseph are invaluable help to us. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Follow him. And he's the one who will make our life abundant. The abundant catch of fish, the abundant catch of men, the abundant life which extends beyond this world, beyond the tomb, life eternal. The life that Sister Barbara enjoys with Jesus, with Mary, with Joseph, with Father Francis, all the angels and saints. Rest in peace, Sister Barbara.